Thank you for choosing to listen to this message. At Coastal, we believe in changing and enriching lives through the power of the Word. We pray that this sermon would be a blessing to you.
Okay. Philippians. Now, I don't know whether we're going to get done tonight or not. This is the... Is that a bit loud? Okay. Hello? Hello? Okay. This is the fourth lesson, and we got four chapters, and we got just more than a chapter to do. Okay, so we'll see where that takes us. All right, we'll see if we get done in time. Okay, again, try to think of this now as a whole work. Now we're gonna talk about, especially tonight, we're gonna really talk about words. And specific words and that kind of thing that Paul uses. But again, try to think in terms of having a whole to it. Just four chapters, but still, it is a letter. And by the way, who's the letter to? I'll accept that. All what? Yes. And he states it by saying, all the saints, okay, in Philippi. And he emphasizes that, and it's probably, he didn't want to look like he was talking to one group or portion of the church. He wanted to talk to all the saints in Philippi. That's who it's to. Who's it from? Paul. Yeah. Now, by the way, that is on the test. Okay. Who's he have with him? Timothy. Who's getting now here's one that won't be on the test, okay? Who brought the gift from Philippi to Rome? Who brought the gift from Philippi to Rome? Yes. He got very sick unto death. They thought they were going to lose him. And as soon as he got well, Paul said, you better go home. Yeah, you just better go home. Because Paul didn't want him dying on his hands there. Make Paul look bad. Anybody going to try to pronounce that name? Epaphroditus. Yeah, Epaphroditus, right? Yeah, and there's two more names that'll come up tonight that we'll have to work on. The subject just before that we did last week is the arrogance of people who think they have arrived. He speaks to them in the church. The arrogance of people, now he didn't use that word, okay, that's my rendition of it. The arrogance of people who think they have arrived, and what did Paul say? Not so. I haven't arrived. This one thing I do, and what is that? This one thing I do. Forget what is behind. I strain forward to the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Okay? So, don't be looking back a whole lot. What happens when you look back? You're immobilized to forward movement. Jesus said, remember Lot's wife. And what is the memorable thing that she did? Yeah, you look back and turn to a pillar of salt. But say, all her forward movement come to a halt when she looks back. Okay? And so, there. Now, Paul gave up all the things that was gained to him. What were some of the things that he considered gained to him that would make him acceptable to God? What were the things that he thought in times past that made him more acceptable to God? Hebrew of Hebrews? Circumcised the eighth day? Benjamin's tribe? Pharisee who did, as far as he record shows, everything. He was faultless when it came to the law. That's quite a boast. Really, it is quite a boast. And the other thing is, he persecuted the church. He had zeal for God and was willing to work at it. And we find that out in this text. What did he do with that whole bundle of good things? Huh? Yes. Yes. Yeah. Loss. Rubbish. Fit only. We went to the Keys, and you go past at least two of those great big mounds, the biggest mounds in Florida. It is trash. It's garbage. It's trash. Yeah. Exactly. Okay. Yeah. And so he counted that all the loss. Now the trick question, and I told you it's a trick question. It is. This will be on the test. When he gave all these things away, that's what he was. What did he become once he gave all that away? What did he become? He said, I did that I might have Christ. Okay, but what did he become in the meantime of giving that away and taking on Jesus Christ? What was he? Free? Humble? It's a trick question, but it will be on the test. Because I do want you to get this. What did he become? Huh? No, that's after he gets Christ. He gave up this to get that. But what was he in the meantime in the center? Nope. It's a trick question. I told you before. A human being. A human being. Before that, you would ask him. He was not. He wasn't like the rest of people. Wasn't like them at all. He was God's chosen people who did it God's chosen way, and the list goes on. Yes. Yeah, exactly. Well, he's right here. He's right here with us. What is he? A human being, and then he takes on Christ, of course, then, and then the righteousness of God is his only because of his faith in Jesus Christ. Okay, good summary. Okay, let's start in. And what's our first? Oh, this in instead of talking about people who are arrogant and think they have a right, these are libertinism. God, that's a big word. Yeah, all it means is you don't acknowledge any law, any rules. You are free, okay? I got a note down here, and we might talk about that a little bit. One of the biggest problems of working in the New Testament and the early church, and this is the early church, okay, Church of Philippi we're talking about, is to think about how much Gnosticism was in the church at any given time. Okay? And Gnosticism is a special way of looking at God and looking at reality, what we call reality, matter. Okay? And we don't know, but when you see this here, libertinism, and then you had, on the other side, there are arrogant people who think they've arrived. You're thinking of some kind of sense of Gnosticism in the church, okay? And Gnosticism is this. Matter, and do you understand what I'm using the word matter is things, substance. things you can touch. Okay? To them, that's evil. Doesn't matter how you cut it, it's evil. Spirit, on the other side of them, is good. Okay? And this is what they believe. And it's easy to fall into that. It really is. You see Christians be really susceptible to that. Why? Well, we ain't nothing but sinners. You know, and you get suspicious about the humans. You know, and you see this all over the country. Let me give you one, okay? Global warming. Is it taking place? Well, to be honest with you, I don't know. I do know the earth likes to fluctuate. Now that I do know. But this is a religion to some people. And how you know it's a religion is because they not only say the earth is warming, they say you're the fault. You're the ones causing it. Okay. That calls for a belief system. And so it's easy to fall into this stuff. Okay? It's easy to get this in. Okay. Let me see. 1 Corinthians. Again, the problem is especially with libertinism, and we'll read that text pretty soon. This is 1 Corinthians. I think it's in the first chapter. Listen to this. Again, now, 1 Corinthians is really a problem for me. Okay, I really work at it, okay? But in verse 12, first chapter, what I mean is this. One of you says, I follow Paul. Another, I follow Apollos. Another, I follow Cephas. Still another, I follow Christ. Well, when I first read that, I said, first liar never has a chance. So they just one-upped it and made it into... But you know it doesn't say Jesus? And that's the clue. That's the clue. They're probably Gnostic. But they can't see Jesus as ever being real and substantial human being. That's Christ. And that's the only word they will use there. Okay. Jesus would be like some kind of... vision or whatever, but okay. Now let's go on. Let's get back to Philippians. All right, put that in your mind there, and just kind of keep that there, and you'll see it when it comes out in the New Testament. You'll see when that comes out. Okay, and Paul, we think Paul's combating that in a lot of places. A lot of places. Okay, join together in the following my example, brothers and sisters, and just as you have us as a model, keep your eyes on those who live as we do. Paul's not a libertinism. He doesn't live in that area. He buffets his body even, keeps it under subjection, disciplines himself like a person that is going to compete in an athletic. He trains. He's disciplined. As for I have often told you before, now tell you again, even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross. Now, the big question with that group right there is it the same one that he called dogs earlier? You remember when he called the group dogs, okay? That's the question. I'm thinking that that's not them, okay? This is a different group, okay? But you can make a case that he's back talking about the dogs again. Their destiny is destruction. Their God is their stomach, and their glory is their shame. Their mind is set on earthly things. Okay? All right. Let's go to the next one. But our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly wait a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, see, he's got Jesus Christ. A lot of times you'll say Christ Jesus. Okay, and it's important how he arranges that. But he wants to make sure you understand that this was a real person, Jesus. That's his first name. His earthly name was Jesus. He is Christ, or God himself, who by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, you whom I love and long for, my joy and my crown, stand firm in the Lord in this way, dear friends. Now that's his message to them. Don't get carried away in this. Look at how I live. Okay? That's what he's saying. Look at how I live. Now that is enough. it's not something I would use. I would find that arrogant. If I would say it. But Paul can say that. Okay, he's cutting fresh ground here. Thank God for us. And he said, look at him. How did he live? What did he do? How did he react? How did he govern his life? And so he wants you to look at that. Therefore, my brother and sister, you whom I love and long for, see, my joy and my crown, when Paul stands before the Lord Jesus Christ, Christ might ask him, well, what'd you do with your life? He said, here they are. Here they are. And he'd be thinking of the church at Philippi, or he'd be thinking of the church in Thessalonica. This is what I did with my life. This is how I acted. Okay? That's joy. That's stand firm in the Lord in this way, dear friends. So the enemies of the cross, what's their God? Their stomach. And some think maybe that's an indication of the Hebrew dietary laws, but I don't think so. I don't think so. I think it's more of a gluttony idea behind that. Anyway, okay. Is that through 4:1, or that was through 4:1? Okay. Again, the text as you have it, remember the chapters and verses are strictly arbitrary. They're the best maybe you can come up with, but they're strictly arbitrary. Okay. Let's go to the next one. Now here's the exhortations begin again when he tries to encourage the people and talk with them. I plead with Eudora, and I plead with Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord. Yes, and I ask you, my true companions, help these women, since they have contended at my side in the cause of the gospel, along with Clement and the rest of my co-workers whose names are in the book of life. Now, by the way, this is all we know about Eudora and Syntyche, is that text right there. I personally wouldn't want that. If somebody ever wrote about this church here and it said the only thing that Barry did in there was cause trouble. All he did was, just think about it. Here's two women who've done, the truth of the matter is, they've done a lot of good work. He's not, I don't think he's lying about that, you know. They've done a lot of good work. But the only mention that they get in the Bible is what? Yes, they're fighting. Yeah. Somehow they've gotten crosswise with one another. Yeah, I haven't even done that. I'm ashamed of it. You know, I don't want to do it again. I hope I'll learn. But yeah. Yeah, you want to be careful. And who is this? Eudora and Syntyche. And here they, Paul's in Rome and he hears about who? Eudora and Syntyche. Oh, this is not good. this is not good. Oh, thanks for mentioning that, by the way. I'm sorry? Oh, that's excellent. That's excellent comparison. Two great men disagree. It was over Mark, and it was so contentious that they had to split. But God gets four on the mission field rather than two. Yeah. And get Silas out there. He must have been some heck of a good guy, Silas. Okay. I knew where I was going with that. If you're in the Greek world, women were quiet. They kept to themselves. They didn't even eat with the men. They ate different everything. The Greek world was pretty tough on women. You wouldn't think that, okay? Pretty tough on women. Okay. But here, this is a Roman town. It's Greek underlying, okay? It's Greek underlying. But the surface is Roman, and they even speak Latin in Philippi. Okay? And you can see that they're not following the Greek tradition, because these women are leaders in the church or would not get a mention here. Now these, and that just wasn't done in the Greek world. Okay? And so you have really I think the church is on the cutting edge of, I better not say it that way, Anna. Oh, women's rights. That's a good way to say it. But the church is always on the cutting edge of this. Okay? And if you pay attention in the life of Jesus, you'll see that there was quite a large group of women that supported him and followed. Okay? Quite a large group. So there's Syntyche and Eudora. All right, where do we go? Fourth, I think. Fourth verse there, I think, is where we, okay. Now we start in the really good stuff, right? Yes, I do too. Paul says, rejoice in the Lord. And again, I say rejoice. It's like he says, rejoice in the Lord. And then he took a moment to think about his condition. And what was he facing? Execution. And it was fairly imminent. And Paul's not taken really by surprise very often. Okay, you've got to know this is really possible and coming down the pike. But he says, rejoice in the Lord. And again, I say rejoice in the Lord. It's almost in the face of all the bad stuff that might be coming. He says what? Rejoice in the Lord anyway. Amen. Rejoice in the Lord. I will say it again. Rejoice. I don't... What does it say at some place? I'm not sure. Think of it, that the power of the Spirit is in the praises of His people. And there, rejoice in the Lord. This is going to come up again. Is don't be such a whiner that you forget this. Okay? What do? Somehow put the happy face on it if you can. Okay? Amen. Okay, rejoice in the Lord. And again, I say rejoice. And people have a laundry list of all the bad, they got that, and they carry it around with them. Anytime they can dump that out and go through that piece by piece for you. And what did you say? Rejoice in the Lord. Okay? Yeah. By the way, I bet you know how to cry with people if you need to. I've done that as pastor, and just as a human being, Sometimes you do that. But underneath all this, what? Rejoice in the Lord. And again, I say rejoice. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. And this, gentleness here is kind of a hard word to translate. It's, if you're looking at some of your different texts there, you might have moderation. You might have the word moderation there. I don't know. You have some different words. It's gentleness be evident to all. One guy wrote this, willing to compromise. That is, you meet people, you actually talk, and you'll engage them. That's it. That's how I'm reading. Okay. You actually engage them and talk with them. Not just about your ideas about them, but talk with them. I think. But for sure, gentleness will cover it. I actually like the word gentleman. I really do. I use it sometimes kind of a joking way, but I really mean that. A gentleman carries himself and acts in certain ways. Yeah. And he's asking us to what? To be willing to share our gentleness with people. How many people? All. Okay. Excellent. That a lot of words there to say one word, but yeah, that's a good one. It is really not all that easy to carry off to translate in one word, but that's a good way. That phrase is excellent. And the Lord is near. Now you might say, Paul feels real close to God because why? You see that coming, Lisa. Yeah, because right around the corner is execution for him. Yeah. But I think, I'd rather think he means this general, just the Lord's coming back right away. Okay. He preached that pretty heavy in some places. He had to kind of lighten that up after he got away. Thessalonians, I think, he's preaching about the Lord coming, Lord coming, Lord coming. Then finally he had to write him back, those who don't work shouldn't eat. So he had to kind of soften that a little bit and try to. But underneath that is when you know that God is coming back, it does change your attitude when you know that. The Lord is near. Okay? Do not be anxious about anything. Let me say that again. Well, we're really going to work on that. We're going to work on that tonight. You know, every once in a while you have to tell somebody, you know, you got to quit scaring yourself. Have you seen people do that? They scare themselves. Yeah. Don't remember we said before. I think they used the word terrified was in the King James. Don't be terrified. I mean, no sudden startle and get scared. Okay. Discipline yourself to not do that. If you do that, discipline yourself not to do that. Telephone rings. Used to be this was a good illustration of that. But now we got all these phones out there. The telephone rings, you say, oh man, I got a Russian answer. No. No, you don't. Discipline yourself. If that's where you can start, discipline yourself. No, I'm not going to answer that. Now I'll find out who that is later. But don't be terrified. Here's another one. Don't be anxious, nervous. Okay? Don't let your anxiety rise. Don't scare yourself. All right. Don't be anxious about anything but what? In every situation, by prayer and petition. That is the key. Thanksgiving you should not pray unless you have some way in there in which you tell God thanks for the good things that He's done for you. I remember when I first started this, it had been terribly many years ago, I got a blank piece of paper and I wrote down blessings. Just like the song says, count your blessings, name them one by one, and you'll see what the Lord has done. And if nothing else, in my prayer time, I just got a sheet of paper out and read those blessings. Boy, it changes your attitude. It was a classic book written, it's been years ago now, by Norman Vincent Peale, The Power of Positive Thinking. And it's a classic, you know, it's getting old and dated now. You know, that's getting back there quite a ways. But the thing about it is, be anxious about, but what? In every situation, prayer and petition. Now, you want to petition God to do certain things, okay? But you also want to, what? With thanksgiving, present those requests. With thanksgiving. Just think it's God the Father. You're the child. You don't want to hear your kids complain all the time, do you? Or say, I want, I want, I want, I want, I want. No, you start being thankful for things. And, okay, let's go to the next one. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me, or again, or seen in me, put into practice. And the God of peace will be with you. Now, who's going to be with you? Huh? The God of peace. That's in verse 7. No, I don't know why I got that down. I don't know where I was at, okay? I didn't read verse 8. Where's 5? Okay, go to the next one. Oh, okay. I thought it was me in my notes here. Okay. Well, here's what I do. Let's tell you how I do it. Okay, I know we're going to read the text, so I just have my outline here, and I got my notes on things to discuss. Okay. If you have your Bibles open, you look. In verse 7, which we just read, the God of peace. Right? Or the peace of God. Verse 7. Let me double check and make sure. Yeah, it's not, we don't have it on the board. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Now, what do you get there? The peace of God that is past understanding. My son, I can't remember how old he was, got hit in the head with a baseball bat. It must have been just the end of it because he had kind of a half moon. Was 7 years old. And I took the call. And so I run over to the school. And by the time I get there, he's all bandaged up. And I think he was throwing up at the time. So it was scary. It was scary. So we got on the ambulance, and I'm going in the ambulance with him to Memorial Hospital in Belleville. I think his name was Memorial Hospital in Belleville. And I'm a young man. And not very schooled in the scriptures or anything at that time. I had already committed my life to Jesus Christ. And I prayed in that, man, I said, Lord, help my son. Help my son. Roughly. Yeah. And it came over me, this peace of God. I didn't understand that, but just a peace come over me. And I wasn't anxious anymore. It was like a miracle. It was like a miracle to happen to you there. And so you may have had that for yourself, okay, but just know that it's there, and sometime you may need that. And boy, I needed it then, and I certainly got it. Okay? You see, that's the peace of God transmitted. Well, guard your heart and mind. And by the way, the guard here is more like a referee than what we would think of as a guard. It's a word for referee here. So if you would see that the peace of God is in your heart, you got the whistle in his mouth, and if something gets out of line, he'll blow the whistle on it. You're out of here. You're gone. And just let the peace of God referee your heart, okay? In other words, certain things can't get through the gate. You blow the whistle on you, and you got to go. All right? Okay, now we start verse 8. There's our word, finally. This is the second time we've got the finally. Finally, brothers, whatsoever is true. Okay? Now, what you want to do is you want to run your thoughts through this just like it's a sieve. That's what you want to do. So a thought comes into your mind. You can't help that. Some, they just willy-nilly. Sometimes they just come to you. That's all right. It happens to everybody. But if it comes in there, for you to think about it or entertain that thought, run it through this sieve. And the first one is what? Whatsoever is true. Now, truth is not what can happen. Okay? Truth is what really happened. Or even hasn't happened. Just know that it's either true or it's false. If it's not true, what? Blow the whistle on it. Okay. Second thing, is it noble? Have you ever known people that just think here? They think down here. Nobles were up here. There are base thoughts. You know, they might even be true thoughts. Like, my neighbor is a jerk at times. Yeah. It happens. But just leave it there. No. You want to think about your neighbor being noble. Oh, it's true. These things happen. But we want to lift it out of that and make noble. You know what I mean by noble? Sure. Sure you do. Higher thoughts, better thoughts. Be thinking beyond yourself. Whatsoever is noble, not just true, noble. That's a good sieve to run through. How's this one? Right. That's the third one. Is right. Is it right? Is it wrong? Well, it could be. No. No. We're not entertaining maybe what could be here, unless it's really noble way up here. That'd be good. That'd be good. Number four. Is it pure? Now, this is a psychology lesson. This is great psychology. Okay? Great spiritual stuff, too. whatsoever is what? Pure. Pure. Right? Again, there's base and ugly thoughts, impure thoughts, and then there is what? More pure thoughts. Do you want to spend your time here? No, you don't. If you do spend your time here, it won't very long be that your life will be here. Your whole life will be here. You want to do what? You want to raise that up to where? Noble. When you raise that up higher. Don't you lift your life up? Especially for our Lord and Savior to be up here rather than down there. Pure. What's the next one? Lovely. Are they lovely? Or that woman, she just gets under my skin. Ooh. Ah! No! No! I may, but I'm not going to think about it. I'm going to do what? She's lovely. How stupid would I look? Oh, come on, guys. Look at it this way. How stupid would I look married to her for 60 years if I didn't like her? Or if I said she's a bad person in some form. I mean, how stupid is that? I mean, I'm just dumb for picking her out then. I don't want to be that guy. Amen? No. You want what? Oh, she's lovely. What's that song? Oh, isn't she lovely? Yes, of course. Well, you want to think of things. Seriously, you want to lift your thoughts up and be what? Lovely. Lovely. Right? Run your thoughts through there. If they don't match up to that, don't let the Lord blow the whistle on them. Get them out of here. I'm not thinking about that. You wake up at night, your mind starts racing. Get control of that. Yeah, don't be thinking about things you... Well, I know you pretty soon you won't be able to sleep. You'll be up. You don't want to be there. Where do you want to be? You want to be calm. At that time, you want to be calm. Lovely. Sweet. Number six. Admirable. Do you really admire this about people? Admirable? Or no? Well, don't think about those things. Learn not to think about them. What? Admirable. Admirable. And then the seventh one is what? Excellent. This is the word excellent here is the classic word in the Greek. It's what all the philosophers chased their entire life. That what is excellent. Okay? And Paul says, if it's not excellent, don't be thinking about it. Well, we'll see that. It'll come out a little later. If it's not excellent, don't be thinking about it. Okay? So, the thoughts to come into your mind, if you have to write this down, write yourself a note. If it's not excellent, don't think about it. How about praiseworthy? Make sure it's praiseworthy. In other words, if I think of something about Tom that's not praiseworthy to him, I ought not do that. I'm serious. It's not good. It's not good in how I will learn to treat him and my relationship with him. What do I think about him? Let me try that again. What should I think about him? Things that are praiseworthy. Virtues. Okay? And if not, I shouldn't even think about such things. Okay? Now, where did we pick up? Did we pick up on this? Is that the end of it there? Okay. I want you to look. Hang on now. Hang on. I want you to look at verse number 9. whatever you have learned, received, or heard from me, or seen in me, put into practice. And the God of peace will be with you. We started out, when we started this journey up here, was what? The peace of God. But now, when you learn to think like this, what do you have? The God of peace. Okay? That's a little different. That's a little different. And so that's what you have. That's what you have with you. Okay, now that is the psychology course of Philippians. Go ahead. Go ahead. That's a good point. Yeah. There's a distinct difference here. I can get the peace of God, but now if I follow this, what? I have the God of peace with me. And you might be right, they'd be shedding to others. Yeah. Yes. Yes. Now, thanks for the gift. Is that all we have on our... Thanks for the... We don't have the next one? Thanks. Yeah, well, we don't... No, rejoice greatly in the I rejoice. Now we get into a real thank you for the gift. This is how we know that the letter was a response to the gift was sent in. Okay? And we have one of Joan's favorite passages in here, or at least one of her excellent things that she learned. I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. That is, I am not saying this because I am indeed, for I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. Now let that soak into you. Paul's saying, I'm glad you've responded to help, but I didn't really need it. In other words, he's not getting this out of sympathy. He's getting this out of true love. And he says what? I learned the secret of contentment. I've read these books of people who've come through the concentration camps and the death camps of Auschwitz. The most famous one probably is Man's Search for a Meaning by Viktor Frankl. And I'm not sure he says it this way. Pain is part of life. You know that now. Surely you've lived long enough to know that pain is part of it. Matter of fact, pain is a symbol that life actually exists in you. If you're hurting, if a finger hurts you, it's probably because it's still alive. Okay? That's by nature. So they say pain is optional. I mean, you're going to experience pain, but suffering is optional. That you have to be in a certain frame of mind to be suffering. Paul says, I have learned that whatever his circumstances are, what is he like? I'm content with that. I'm content with that. Okay? And that is a great place to be. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want, I what? Can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Here's a man who is confident about his future and his ability to face it. And he will shoulder his life and make something great of it. Okay, we'll go to the next slide. Yet it was good for you to share in my troubles. Moreover, as you Philippians know, in the early days of your acquaintance with the gospel, when I set out for Macedonia, not one church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving, except you only. Remember when he started this letter, he said, and they are partners with him in the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is what he meant by that. From the very beginning of this church, this is a lovely, lovely church. I know it's got its problems. We face some of them. Every church does. But it's a lovely, lovely church. From the very beginning, they were supporting and taking care of Paul. I want you to share the matter of giving, except for you in life, because of your need. Not that I desired your gifts. What I desired is that more be credited to your account. Why are they getting stuff credited to their account? Because they're giving and they're helping him. Why does he need money? Did we forget that? I want us to. Why he needs money in Rome? He needs to pay for the guard. Okay, you got get rent for the house and very often stenographer, but he gets a free one. I don't think we'll have time to discuss that tonight. I think we'll be done. We'll be done with that tonight. Okay, next slide. I have received full payment and have more than enough. I am amply supplied now that I have received from Aphrodite the gifts you sent. They are a fragrant offering and acceptable sacrifice pleasing to God. And my God will meet all your needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. To our God Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. So that ends the real thank you, the heart of the thank you in the letter. This church shares in the sharing of the gospel of Jesus Christ through Paul in Rome. And he says there, because he has a guard chained to him, and they change the guards around all the time. So he said the whole guard barracks has heard the gospel. Why? They've been chained to him at one time or another. And so he just goes on. He said, the Lord sent me a new convert here. That's what he said. The Lord sent me a new convert here. Okay? All right. This is not the end, but we have a final greeting. Yeah. Well, we want to make sure we do. Greet all God's people in Christ Jesus, the brothers and sisters who are with me. Send greetings, all God's people here send you greetings, especially those who belong to Caesar's household. Ooh, ooh, ooh. Wow. He's got it. Oh. Yeah, moving on up. Well, he's in Rome. He's making headway. I want to remind you that the whole government goes Christian in a few hundred years. And it's probably these seeds he's planting here. Okay. It sneaks up on them. They don't even know this is going to happen. Yeah. Boy, I just read a good book on that. And he says the Western mind is so stooped. Is that a good way to put it? So permeated with Christian thought that we blurt it out and we don't even know it. Yeah. I thought that was... The book's called Domination by a historian called Tom Holland. Oh, the grace of God, Jesus Christ. Be with your spirit. Amen. Okay. That's it. We did it. Right on time, I might say. Now, we're going to take a break. We'll take a break, okay? But I would like to know when we take up again after summer, I'd like to know where you would like to go. You want to do Philemon first? I threw that out there. I was afraid I'd get to to 7:30 tonight and not have anything else to do, so I was going to do Philemon. So I was hedging my bets. I think it's a brilliant idea. I like. We'll do Philemon next week. Okay. Well, we're on the schedule. We got.